This podcast is brought to you by The Rideshare Guy. Visit therideshareguy.com for information on all things rideshare and mobility, or subscribe to The Rideshare Guy podcast today. Hello and welcome to The Parking Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the $100 billion parking industry and the people that make it go. I'm your host, Isaiah Mal, and this is The Parking Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of The Parking Podcast. I'm super excited about our guest today, Michael Mintz, who's the Chief Strategy Officer with AMG Payment Solutions and also author of a great little book called You're a Business Owner, Not a Dummy, Understand Your Merchant Account. Michael Mintz. Michael, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. The reason I'm so excited is because I used to be in a technology, used to work for a technology company that dealt with credit card processing, and I knew nothing about credit card processing. So I don't know, we had a call for some reason, I can't remember what, but I said, man, can I let you in on a little secret? I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you explain it to me? And come to find out, you've written about this topic, you've presented about this topic, you love kind of explaining and breaking down how credit card processing works. I think Albert Einstein said, if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it. Well, you know, I have the mind of a six-year-old, so you were able to explain it to me. And so I know you really know this topic. So questions like, difference in the gateway and processor, what's a merchant ID, what's an interchange rate? We're going to get into all that. But before we jump in, Michael, maybe just introduce yourself. How did you get into this crazy credit card processing world and into the parking industry?
Well, like I said, it's good to be here. And it certainly has been an interesting journey for me to the parking world. I'm probably a lot different than a lot of folks in the parking and credit card processing world. I spent the better part of 18 years in the structured finance business. I was at Deloitte & Touche in their New York office. I made partner there in 2004. And then unfortunately in 2007, my three biggest clients, well, they were Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and Washington Mutual Bank. So I probably don't need to tell you or your audience why I'm no longer at Deloitte.
I've seen The Big Short, so I can tell you right there.
There you go. That was what I did. So now it's the summer of 2009. I'm gamefully unemployed and away with my best friend from high school, Adam Gillinson, who's the CEO at AMG Payment Solutions. Adam had built a very successful telecom business for 20 years, and in 2008 established AMG Payment Solutions as an ISO, an independent sales organization, with First Data. And he was very successful in leveraging his telecom relationships into the merchant processing business. So we're sitting on the beach, and he asked me if I wanted to partner with him at AMG, and just like that, I was in the merchant services business. Adam and I spoke with a lot of people in our personal and professional networks. We reviewed a lot of market segments, and ultimately we decided that it was worth our time and effort to strategically focus on the U.S. parking industry. In early 2010, I was accepted by the Pennsylvania Parking Association as a guest speaker at their annual conference, and my topic was an education in merchant processing. So it was there that I met Henry Wallmeyer, who at the time was the number two guy at IPI, now IPMI. The presentation that I did went really, really well. I got a lot of great feedback. And, you know, fast forward 9 years, AMG is still very close with the IPMI leadership. We've established strategic partnerships with key players in the parking industry. And we've really created a nice niche in the on and off street parking space, doing something really simple. And that's saving clients money, saving cities, saving universities and parking operations money. We're working with cities, hospitals, private operators, helping them basically to reduce the cost of processing those credit card and debit card transactions across their entire portfolio of on and off street parking assets. But our primary focus are those micro transactions of $1 to $5 that every city sees at their on street parking operations.
And I'm very glad you did enter this little parking industry, because you've made me look very good on a number of occasions by saving my clients money. So normally I say, let's not get in the weeds on the podcast, but this is one topic I really actually want to get in the weeds. So do what you did for me that one time, and let's break down a credit card processing charge. So let's say a parking meter, it's $1 an hour. Customer comes up with the credit card and pays for $1. I hear clients say words like, oh, it's just the cost of doing business in the 21st century. They don't even care or look at the rates. And I think it's very important to understand, when someone spends $1, how much of that are they seeing back? So I guess, could you take us through the process of a $1 charge and how that all works?
Sure, absolutely. And I do this a lot, obviously. I talk to clients about this topic all the time. What I like to try to do first, and I'm going to answer your question about the dollar, And give you the numbers and lay it out there. But what I like to do first is really kind of put out the basics. And the basics start with, you know, a merchant account, right? So in order for any entity to accept credit and debit cards, they need to open a merchant account. And the entity that opens up that merchant account is what's referred to as the merchant of record, the MOR. People use that term in the industry a lot, but sometimes people don't even know what that is. So the merchant of record is the one responsible for the merchant fees. They're the ones that get the deposits. And they're the entity that the name of the merchant account is in. Now, of course, all merchant accounts have fees. I don't know any that don't. Regardless of how the fees are presented to the customer, everybody on this call should know, or on this podcast should know, that there are really only three components that go into the monthly fee related to a credit card processing relationship. Two of those components are non-negotiable, and one of them is negotiable. The first one is interchange. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second or two. The second piece is what the card brands make, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. And then the third piece is what the credit card processor makes. Those are the three components. Examples of credit card processors are Chase Payment Tech, Wells Fargo Merchant Services, Bank of America, Worldpay, First Data. And they're all very big players in this market. So, you know, it sounds simple. We open up a merchant account and, you know, you negotiate a deal and you just pay your fees. Well, it is that simple, but unfortunately, it's not simple to understand. And that's where I come in and I like to help folks and clients really understand what's going on. So getting more deep into the weeds, let's start with the first component, which is basically the interchange piece. Think of interchange as the pure cost to process a card. It's that simple. There are over 300 interchange categories out there between Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. So think of each of these categories as different card types. Debit is different than credit. Within credit, you've got rewards, you've got high rewards, low rewards, all different kinds of rewards. All of the interchange, so you've got a rate and you've got a transaction fee. So for example, a Visa Signature Preferred Retail card, for example, will have an interchange rate of 2.1% and a flat fee of 10 cents. So every time that card is used, 2.1% of the total amount of the transaction plus 10 cents, all of that is what's referred to as the interchange fee. All of that goes to the issuing bank, the bank that issued the card to their customer that's now using it at the merchant, at the meter, at the pay station. Very important to understand that interchange is set by the card associations. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, they set interchange. They look at it two times a year, and it can be adjusted. Every merchant pays interchange, and there's absolutely nothing that they can do about it. So that's component one. Component two is what the card brands make. So Visa, MasterCard, Discover, any card with their logo on it, they're making money. It's that simple. Visa, for example, whether it's a debit card, they make 0.11%. On a credit card, they make 0.13%. That's what's referred to as dues and assessments. And then there's a network fee, which is 0.0195 cents. So it's a little under 2 cents. Put those two together, that's what the card associations make. That's component two. Now, the last piece is what the processor makes. In my case, it's First Data and AMG. We share, right? I have a relationship with First Data, my company. This is the part of the fee that's referred to as the plus piece to interchange plus pricing. In the parking world, in the world that we live in, that plus piece in my world is always number of pennies, right? It's anywhere between, let's say, 5 and 10 cents per transaction based upon the volume. So put all those together, and that's the total fee. Now let's go to your example of a dollar transaction. So a dollar transaction, you've got an interchange rate of 2.1% and 10 cents. So that equates to about 12 cents of interchange that goes to the issuing bank. Visa makes their 0.13% plus that little under 2 cents, that 0.0195. And then let's assume that the processor makes 10 cents a transaction. So put all those together. On that dollar transaction, it costs 24 cents to process it using the Visa Signature Preferred Retail Card. And that's a standard or a typical type of rewards card that's out there. Now, let's use your example of a dollar and let's talk about a debit card. In fact, let's talk about a regulated debit card, basically a debit card that's issued by a bank with over $10 billion worth of assets. Those cards have an interchange rate of 0.05% plus 22 cents per transaction. So put that together. You've got 22 cents of interchange, 0.11 on the Visa side, so a little about 2 cents, and then 10 cents on the processor. Add all that together and you get 34 cents to process that regulated debit card. So you've got 24% effective rate with this credit card and a 34% effective rate with this regulated debit card.
Okay, so I'm following. So we got 24 cents if someone pays with the credit card. That's 12 cents to the interchange, 2 cents or so to the Visa, MasterCard, bank, and then about, say, 10 cents for the processor. But for a debit card, it's 22 cents, which is the interchange rate for using a debit card, 2 cents for the bank, Visa, MasterCard, 10 cents for the processor, which shocks me because I always thought people want you to use the debit card when you're going to the gas station. I thought I'm doing them a favor by doing debit card. Why is debit card so much more expensive than using a credit card at a parking meter?
It's a good question, Isaiah. And it's really simple. Back in 2011, there was a piece of legislation that was put in place called the Durbin Amendment, part of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act. And the intent by Senator Dick Durbin was actually to reduce the interchange cost or the interchange fees that merchants pay when they accept a debit card. At the time, the average interchange cost on a debit card was around 45 cents. And basically, what the Durbin Amendment did is they put a cap on it. They put a cap of 22 cents on any debit card transaction when the debit card was issued by a bank with over $10 billion worth of assets. So that basically means all of the big money center banks in the U.S. that issue a debit card on a checking or a savings account, they're all regulated debit cards. And what happened was is that the card associations, when they set the interchange rate, they set the interchange rate at 0.05% plus 22 cents, which is basically the cap. So on a $1 or a $2 transaction, that 22 cent component is a big percentage of the transaction. And that really, really hurt the on-street parking industry. It impacted other industries as well, like vending and laundry. But these small ticket transactions were significantly negatively impacted by the Durbin Amendment.
Wow. So in a given city or airport environment, how often are we seeing debit cards versus a typical credit card?
That's a good question too. So from what we see, and we look at a lot of statements, as you can imagine, what we see is anywhere between 30% and, believe it or not, 70% of usage at parking meters, pay stations, pay by cell are done by regulated debit cards. Two big factors. One would be, you know, if you see a lot of big money center banks in town, chances are you're going to see a lot of regulated debit cards. Number two is if there's a big college or a university in the city, you'll see a lot of debit card usage because a lot of kids have debit cards. So our experience is anywhere between 30 and 70% of the cards that are being used on street and off street are these regulated debit cards subject to the Durbin Amendment.
So it's almost like the Durbin agreement helped larger when someone's paying a lot more, if they're paying with the debit card, it actually saves them money. But for smaller items such as parking fees, concession stands, they're really hurt by this. So I think that's why choosing your processor, and there's only, like you said, there's one of these rates that's negotiable, and that's the processor rate. So I think it's why it's more important than ever to understand the processor fees and making sure you're partnering with the great partner for this processing fee. So is there anything in the works for this to be changed, or is it at this point in time, it's if due to the Durbin Amendment, if you have small transactions like parking fees, we're just basic, nothing we can do about it. We just got to take it.
To your point, you're right. A lot of folks on this call, they're probably shaking their head. They definitely save some money for sure on their larger transactions. So if operators have garages or situations where they're accepting transactions, $10, $15, $20, $25, Durbin Amendment definitely helped them. No question about it. And it really did hurt the on-street parking side of it. You know, up until about 3 years ago, I would have said, no, there's really nothing that you can do about it because the interchange is interchange. But we've been AMG, and obviously we've been in this parking space for quite some time. We're dedicated to it. We're committed to it. And we've established a very unique processing platform with our First Data partner that specifically addresses the economic shortfalls of the Durbin Amendment.
That was my next question. So are there solutions out there that can help cities with this problem?
The short answer is yes, but they're not readily available. There are certain providers out there that do have preferred pricing, and that's basically what my organization has, AMG, in relationship with a large parking meter company. We've established strategic partnerships with various entities in the parking space, spent a lot of money, spent a lot of time, obviously, in developing, you know, our solutions. And we really have a great solution for this micropayment transaction. And we're really excited to bring it to the parking industry and help clients, you know, really basically save money. I mean, they're paying for processing. It's a commodity. Everybody's got to pay for it. You might as well pay as little as possible. And that's what we're here to do and help cities with.
Very nice. And so I know some meters or parks equipment charge a gateway fee. How does that pertain with the interchange, the Visa, MasterCard, the bank fee, and the processor fee? Is that something different?
That's completely different, actually. And that's something that some folks, clients that I speak with actually get confused about, is a gateway fee versus processing versus interchange and things of that nature. The gateway fee is separate from processing. And not everybody charges the gateway fee. It really just depends on, you know, number one, the gateway, the provider. But let's start with what a gateway is. A gateway is basically the bridge between a piece of software or a piece of hardware and the processor. So all of the parks equipment work with a gateway. Some of them use third parties. Some of them have their own proprietary gateways. But at the end of the day, the gateway is that bridge that allows the transaction to go through. So it's a required piece of the puzzle, but it is separate from the merchant services side of it. And as you know, most gateways allow for virtually any processor. The client will typically provide a VAR sheet or a tear sheet to the parks operator, and they'll put the conversion in, they'll make the change on the gateway, and you know the merchant account is changed. But very important to understand that gateway is definitely a separate thing from the merchant account that gets established.
So it's a way for the parks equipment to send that information to the merchant ID. There is a cost to them. They could have paid for that up front. They could be paying that fee, or they could be passing it on to your customers, which is why some have gateway charges, some do not.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's okay. Correct. Yep.
And what would you say, I guess, if I asked you, what's the number one takeaway or challenge you would challenge people listening? We got a lot of listeners that are in charge of credit card processing that run parking operations across the United States. I guess, what's the number one challenge you would challenge them to look at when they're thinking about their credit card processing?
Most important thing I think is number one, not to be scared of it. Merchant processing is really not a difficult subject. Unfortunately, folks in my industry, my competitors, sometimes make it a little bit more difficult to understand. That's what we try to do differently than everybody else. You know, our goal here is to, my goal at least, is to help people understand so that when they fully understand, they're able to make that educated decision. But best takeaway would be educate yourself. If you're going to do an RFP, make sure you understand, you know, what the components are for that merchant processing relationship so that the RFP can evaluate it correctly. Know the pieces of the puzzle. And if you don't know them, you know, ask people that know that do know them, because, you know, use those folks as a resource. I mean, I do that, and, you know, my partner Adam and I do that on a regular basis in helping folks understand more about the world of merchant services. But that would be my advice. You need to educate yourself. You need to be able to make that right decision and know all the components that go into, you know, the fees that you're paying for merchant processing. And, you know, I'm always available. I mean, you can reach me at michael@amgpay.com. I'm here to answer any questions from anyone. And that's what we do on a regular basis. We help cities and municipalities and operators really understand the merchant services side of their business.
We've done this practice several times where I've just said, Mike, please look at my credit card processing statements. Tell me how I can save money. Tell me where I'm losing money. And you've actually taken the statements, reran the numbers, and said, if you tried this or if you did this, this would be your monthly or annual savings. And so I'm assuming you'd be willing to do that for any listeners on the podcast to help them out there.
Anyone and everyone. Well, you know, we'd love to talk with them. We'd love to help them, most importantly. We've been doing this for, you know, specifically the small ticket processing side of things for the last 3 or 4 years now. Obviously, we've been in the parking space for almost 10 years, and we've got a great client base behind us that are supportive and great references. So I'm happy to put potential new clients in touch with existing clients and let them talk and, you know, understand more about the solution.
And like I said earlier, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I've done that where I've had a client using a competitor processor. I've asked AMG to look into it, and come to find out AMG was able to save our clients lots and lots of money. So how can listeners learn more about AMG? I know you gave us your emails or a website, another way they can contact AMG.
Sure. Well, the website is www.amgpay.com, amgpay.com. You can reach me at michael@amgpay.com, my partner Adam at adam at amgpay.com. And my cell phone is 917-837-4051. Text me, call me, whatever you want. I'm here to help.
Or pick up a copy of his book. So tell us about that. I had all these questions. You said, hey, I wrote a book on this topic. Can I send it to you? I got in the mail a few days later and I read it in one sitting and everything just started clicking for me. So I loved it. What made you decide to write this book and what was that process like?
I smile every time someone brings up the book. You know, it's funny that I think I joked with you about this once, Isaiah. You know, I think I've made about $6 in the last 7 years from the book. No one buys it, but it's a great piece of material to share with folks. So I mean, been doing this for a while, and after all the presentations and emails and white papers that I've written, I said, you know, I think I got a book here, and literally sat down on a Friday and wrote the thing between Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, it took me 9 months to edit it so that it made sense and people could actually understand what I was writing, but it just came out. I've gotten really good feedback from it. It certainly lays down the basics of what credit card processing is all about. You know, my goal was really to just tell people what it was that nobody else was telling them. And the name of the book is, you know, You're a Business Owner, Not a Dummy. Understand Your Merchant Account. It looks like one of those dummies books with a dunce cap on the guy sitting in the front, but it's really a tell-all about what everybody needs to know about merchant services if they're looking to save money.
No, I love it. It's a dream of mine too. And like you said, if you write a book about parking, it's not going to sell well. But you know, I love it as a way to establish dialogue, to meet new people, just someone having a question about something. Read this book and let's talk. So it's a way to get your foot in the door. It's kind of why I'm doing the podcast. I'm not going to make any money off of it, but I love just meeting new people and learning and helping others learn. And I think in your case, I love kind of the business model of being transparent. You know, this is how we make our money. This is what our fees would be. This is what you're currently paying. This is how they're making their money. And I think anytime you have a business model with transparency and openness, you're going to succeed because you guys are doing it the right way. So I appreciate you taking the time. And I guess my last question, I'm seeing more cities and private operations and considering or looking at going credit card only. So I guess, do you have any latest or greatest about kind of a percentage of the unbanked out there? Is it lowering where we can see more cities in the future? Do you expect to go credit card only? Kind of what's your thoughts on that matter?
Well, you know my opinion. I hope everything goes credit card. That would be the ideal scenario for the credit card guy, that's for sure. But now, all kidding aside, you make a great point. You know, the U.S. population continues to carry less cash and use credit and debit more often. Is there a potential concern about the unbanked folks that don't have regular banking relationships? Sure. It definitely gets taken into a consideration. There are prepaid card programs out there that can address those unbanked individuals. I think you're seeing more and more machines that don't take bills. They'll take coins and they'll take credit, but they won't take bills because of the change feature that becomes somewhat cumbersome. I'd say 5 years out, I'd say you're still going to see a lot of parks equipment out there. They're still going to be accepting coins. It's not going to be all credit and debit at that point. I think over the next 10 to 20 years, yeah, you'll see it evolve. I do think that it'll go much more and more cashless over time. I mean, you're starting to see more cities go pay by cell and less, you know, hardware on street, you know, so to that point, it's, you know, somewhere in that same realm, but it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I mean, it certainly the population is moving more towards credit and debit. There's no question about that. And you see it, it's all moving towards apps and you know, that's the way of the future for sure.
And to quote my friend, Emily from Dixon, she wrote once about the topic and she said, you know, one of the principles of new urbanism is mixed use and diversity. And so when you talk about cities, they, you know, they're trying to be pretty open, and I think they can't go to credit card only completely yet, but that doesn't mean you can't push more towards it. I'm recommending clients. I've seen a couple creative examples where maybe they have 100 pay stations downtown, but they have five of them that are green. And it's, if you have cash, you can pay at one of these green pay stations, which are good for the whole city, or it's credit card only. But if you need to pay cash, you can buy a gift card at the office or just different things you can do. Cause I think that the machines are a lot less expensive when you're not having to deal with that bill validator and giving change and all that. I think less pilferage, people stealing when you have cash operations. So I think we're starting to see it, even in the municipal industry that I work in, we're starting to see cities that are going credit card only. But I think you still have to offer that solution somehow to get that 5% or 4% that are unbanked. great feedback. Mike, you're wonderful as always. Thanks for playing the game and always being willing to help out. Just as a side note, I know you've, even when there's not been money involved, you've been able to help me out or help some of my employees out when they've had questions, and we really appreciate it. And lastly, listeners, I keep pressing it, but check out the website, email, call Mike. If there's any way his company can save you money on credit card processing, they'll do it. So Mike, thank you so much. Have a great, great weekend.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend as well.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Parking Podcast. Please leave us a review and tell a friend about our show. It would mean a lot. This has been a production of Synchronicity Media, produced by me, Isaiah Mao. Our music and score is by Zona. Our show art and design is by the talented Allison Gilley. You can follow us on social media at The Parking Podcast, or you can find our website with bonus content at parkingcast.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.